Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I'd mentioned a couple of weeks ago I need to pick a longer song for that time. I did it again. But I noticed something that brought me a lot of joy as I walked up. I could hear the crackling of little snack packages. That was music to my ears. Anyway, two questions to ponder today. What do people say when they see you coming toward them? And do their words have any impact on your value? Our gospel reading today begins by saying, the next day he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John proclaimed Jesus to be the fulfillment of prophecy, the one on whom he personally saw the Spirit of God land in the form of a dove after descending from heaven, this being the sign that God told him to watch for. This one, this Jesus, is the chosen one, the one who would die on a cross for the sins of all people. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the scapegoat. The scapegoat of Levitical law. For the Lord himself commanded his people of old, saying of Aaron, that on the day the Lord commands, he must make atonement for the sins of the whole Israelite community. A lot of things revolved around that, but to narrow it down a bit, he shall take two male goats, he shall cast lots over them. One goat will be designated for sacrifice by casting lots as belonging to God. The second was assigned the name departing goat or scapegoat. Leviticus says, Aaron shall lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness. In this way, the priests down through the decades would transfer the sins of the people to the scapegoat, which would then be turned loose to carry their sins away and out into the wilderness. With these things in mind, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus as the one. Jesus as the Son of God is the only one who can say to you, and he does, "You are no longer a sinner. I am. I am your substitute. All your sins are to rest on me and not on you." Only Jesus can say that. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Through faith in Jesus, God himself declares you. We've talked about this a lot in Bible class today. He declares you to be a saint without sin. How's that going for you? You are a saint right where you sit, a child of God. What do people say you are? What do people say when they see you coming? In our Old Testament reading today, Isaiah said that the Lord would proclaim his message of this merciful servant of which we spoke a few weeks ago to the extent of the known world. "Listen to me, O coastland," he proclaimed, "and give attention, O peoples from afar. The servant in whom the soul of God delights," that we spoke of a couple weeks ago, "the servant upon whom he put his spirit, he was called even from the womb of his mother to bring the message of salvation to you and to me." The weapon of this servant that Isaiah proclaimed of, his weapon, would be his words. Like a sharp sword and a polished arrow, his words would lift up souls. His word would break down. Like the fire and hammer of a blacksmith, his words would purify and shape the souls of people of all nations. Though the labor of this servant, the Lord's servant, of whom Isaiah proclaimed, may seem to be in vain, as he proclaimed in the word today, as if the Lord had spent his strength for nothing, though this servant would be betrayed by one of his own, though his suffering and dying would give the appearance of failure, He would bring Jacob back into relationship with God, that Israel might be gathered to him, and that they might yet be that light, that promised light to the nations. The same servant of whom Isaiah prophesied would be found praying in a garden. Evil men with evil intent would come and lead him to his death. And yet before they could lay a hand on this servant, an angel would come to him and he would assure him of the justice of his cause. He would assure him of the certainty of his recompense. For he alone would receive honor in the eyes of God. This servant of whom Isaiah prophesied, though he would cry out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? He would not be dishonored in death, for death could not hold him. Rulers and kings would bow down to him. When he walks, rulers and kings will have to stand and take attention. And those who wait for him will not be put to shame. This servant of whom Isaiah prophesies, he is the scapegoat. He is the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. These are the things of which Isaiah spoke concerning the coming servant of God. And so what do people say when they see you coming? And do you allow their words to determine how you value yourself? By grace, God calls all Christians, including you and I, with the same double-edged sword of his written word, the same word by which he called the prophets of old, piercing the heart with the Ten Commandments with the force of a sharpened arrow, and yet also confirming you and sustaining you, as he promises, to the end, declaring that you are, what did I call you earlier? Saint? Another word for that? Guiltless. So even though we don't always live up to the title saint, he declares you guiltless, and he will continue to do so until Christ returns. These are the things God says when he sees you. What do people say when they see you coming? One of the shows that my kids like to watch once in a while has a character in it whose name is O. Maybe you've seen this show. At first, O claimed that he got his name from his many friends who gave him that name, implying that they were saying, "Oh, it's so good to see you." But as the show progressed, he began to confess, and he began to show that, well, that name really came because of all of his many iniquities. He had to admit that he was kind of clumsy, and that in his clumsiness, he had caused a lot of big messes. And so the name really meant, oh no, it's you. And so this continued. And as it continued, eventually he allowed the hurtful words of his peers to define who he was. Have you ever had someone do that to you? Put a label on you, a label that keeps reminding you of your failures or your shortcomings, or maybe you don't dress properly or your hair isn't quite right. Labels that remind you that you're a sinner and that somehow you just don't measure up to their standard. Doesn't it seem that everybody knows that label and they don't mind using it to define you? And it doesn't it seem that it's impossible to overcome or live down that label? So here's another question. Are you tempted to think that maybe they're right? They're not. But how does the Lord define you? What does he say when he sees you coming? After all, he's the one who has known you since before you were conceived, before you were born. When I was a young man, fairly new in my Christian walk, there hung on one of the walls in our Sunday school classrooms a poster, very old school, out of date, I don't even know if they're around anymore, but a poster that, for me, describes how God feels about each of you and me and all of his creatures. And the poster simply said this: God don't make no junk. Maybe you've seen it. Not the best grammar in the world, but the message is right to the point. God don't make no junk. He doesn't make mistakes. You're not a mistake. St. Paul has written that he was called and appointed to be apostle before he was born. God don't make no junk. In the Old Testament reading, Isaiah was called from the womb to be prophet. God don't make no junk. In our gospel reading, John was the one called to prepare the way for the Savior. God don't make no junk. But there is a guy in our epistle reading that causes me to pause. This guy's name is Sosthenes. He's alongside the greeting that Paul offers. But what about this guy? When I think of this man, Sosthenes, the word that comes to mind for me is scapegoat. Does that mean he's junk? A while back, at the men's Bible breakfast, we had read of a man named Sosthenes, and we read of how he was beaten for seemingly no apparent reason, beaten by a mob. And we wondered why. Why was that the case? That Sosthenes of Acts 18:17 was the successor of Crispus, a ruler of the synagogue at Corinth. And during Paul's first visit to the city of Corinth, some Jewish leaders had brought Paul up on charges. They brought him before the new Roman proconsul of Achaia, thinking that because he was new, maybe they could get something over on him and get Paul prosecuted. They charged Paul with teaching the people to follow God. Well, yeah, of course he did. But they also asserted that the things that Paul taught were against the law. But judging these things to be a religious matter, this new proconsul saw right through what they were up to. Knowing that these were religious matters and not matters of the state, the proconsul quickly dismissed the charges against Paul, and he ordered that his classroom or that his courtroom be cleared, and be cleared at once. Acts 18 says that Sosthenes at that point was beaten by the crowd that was there, right in the presence of the proconsul, who seemed to take very little notice. No reason is given for that action, except that, it is thought that the angry mob was a bunch of Gentiles who, having taken it, well, you ever heard the phrase, kick a man when he's down? It seemed like that's what they were up to, taking advantage of the snub that the proconsul had just given to the Jewish leaders. They saw an opportunity to vent their hatred for all Jews upon this one Jew. So for me, when I hear that name, Sosthenes, the word scapegoat comes to mind. One who suffered for the sake of all. But God don't make no junk. It is thought that, well, it's thought by some that Sosthenes subsequently became the same Sosthenes who had become a Christian and now joined Paul in this salutation of our epistle reading. But whether he is the Sosthenes who is a battered synagogue ruler of Corinth, or he is the brother in Christ who served alongside Paul in Corinth, God don't make no junk. For me, the name Sosthenes will forever remind me that no matter what words people use to say about you, and there's probably a large variety, please hear this. You are highly valued by God. No matter what you think about yourself and what words you use to describe yourself, you are highly valued by God. God sees you as someone worth dying on a cross for. And because Jesus died for you, the whole company of heaven proclaims along with the Savior that you are saint. And in faithfulness, God will, as St. Paul has written, he will sustain you in his truth, in this truth, that you are his saint, his child, until the end of time. Proclaiming that regardless of what people say about you, you are guiltless before God and that you are highly valued in the eyes of God. So it doesn't matter what other people say. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.